Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You can listen to our sermons and other podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or any popular podcasting platform. Our worship times are on Sundays at 9 and 10:45 a.m. This month, New Hope celebrates its 30th anniversary. We will be sitting down and talking with people who were here when it all began. This week on the podcast, Bill and Cheryl Brunger join us to talk about how they found New Hope when it was still Sedalia Presbyterian Church. Let's start it off. All right, Bill and Cheryl, thank you for coming in and talking today about New Hope and your experience. One of the first things I want to ask you is, what brought you to New Hope? Or if you want to go back further, were you at Sedalia or Laviers?
Sedalia.
Sedalia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what brought you to Sedalia?
Well, 1983, 82?
84.
Carrie was born in 84. So I was pregnant with Carrie, our first daughter, and we lived in Sedalia. And for exercise, I used to walk from our house down 105 to the Sedalia Church, and I would see this beautiful stained glass window of Jesus there that's in our church today. So that was my goal, to walk to that church and back for exercise. And every time I would go, I'd think, you know, maybe I should just go into that church and see what it's like. So one Sunday I walked in and sat towards the back, and Mary Ellen and Joe Howard were sitting there, and they invited me to sit with them, and I really enjoyed the service. And then I went home and told Bill about it, and I thought, well, you know, why don't we give this church a try and see what it's like. So that's how we got started with the Sedalia Church, and taught Sunday school lessons there. And I think the Barnetts, their children were in my classes, and have very, very fond memories of Christmas Eve, the wooden pews and the wooden floor in the Sedalia Church. And at that time, Carrie was a little angel in the Christmas show or pageant, and Nick was a baby. We had Nick then, and he was baby Jesus. So I have a lot of fond memories of the Sedalia Church. And at first, I really wasn't on board to combine churches to build New Hope, but I realized that we needed to change and to expand. So anyway, that's how we got started.
You're not the first one to mention the stained glass window.
Oh, uh-huh.
And that's kind of the thing they saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, my nephew calls that the scary Jesus.
The scary Jesus, yeah.
When he came out here and we went by that stained glass, he's like, scary Jesus.
Oh,
and so,
that's cute.
But that's cool. I actually didn't know before this process of talking to people mm-hmm. about that stained glass.
Where it came from.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Cheryl probably went to Sedalia Presbyterian for months or maybe even a year before I agreed to go along. And one of my first memories is I hadn't done any organized singing for probably since high school, 20 years or so, and decided to sing with a choir. That was two times a year, Christmas and Easter. And the choir members were from Sedalia and from Laviers. We had joint rehearsal, and then we would sing at Laviers first. The pastor conducted that service. Alan Whitelock was the pastor. And then he'd go to Sedalia, and that was the service that was later. So we sang at each church twice a year, and that was pretty much standard until we had this building here at New Hope. So I got Cheryl encouraged me to get involved, and I'm happy she did.
And joined the choir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been part of the choir at New Hope for 30 years then?
Since 1985.
Yeah. Wow.
And then 85, you know, was before New Hope, but then when New Hope came along, just kept going.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple times when I missed a year but pretty much for 30-some years been in the choir.
Wow.
Involved in the music ministry.
That's great. That's commitment.
It is.
Yeah. So you touched on it briefly, Cheryl, about you weren't necessarily on board at first mm-hmm. for the move of mm-hmm. combining the two churches. So what was that process like for the two churches? What do you remember about it? And obviously not everybody was on board with it, right?
Well, you know, I just had such a connection, I guess, to the small community church. And I had really, I don't know, it was just, we met at the rec center when we first started building New Hope. And I guess, I don't know, I think I just liked the smallness mm-hmm. of the community, Sedalia community of the church, and that's why I was kind of dragging my feet somewhat. But as we progressed through the, you know, building and getting more members coming in, then I felt like, well, this is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, this, and it was such a beautiful, I remember when we first, when they, what would that be called? When
groundbreaking.
The groundbreaking ceremony was so, it was just really pretty awesome, you know, the joyous mm-hmm. occasion, it really was. But
yeah. Bagpipes and everything.
Yeah, it was very impressive, is what I want to say.
Yeah, there's a, I've seen a picture of that ceremony. Is mm-hmm. There might be one somewhere in here. I know on this wall in our staff offices, there is a picture of the outline of the building before it was built, an aerial view mm-hmm. of it. But there wasn't much here when
there was nothing here.
When those churches decided to come out here.
That's
so what?
So true.
What? Why here?
For the most part, the pastor was the driving force, and there were others who understood and wanted to progress from those small community churches. There was a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that many of the members that especially went to Sedalia lived in Castle Rock, some of the families. And Pastor Whitelock was acquainted with this developer. And the person's name who did a lot of that was Joe Nepensky. And they had some former business relationship or other. And Joe was really involved with this site. And it was just chosen as the best site available for various reasons. Mm-hmm. As it went along into the late 80s, I didn't realize this, but I agreed to serve on session in the late 80s. And it was right during the whole process of, and we had to dissolve those two congregations. For some reason, and I don't understand all the politics or all the mm-hmm. all the regulations of the General Assembly, but we could not continue those two churches and have this one.
Yeah,
that was how it was set up, and eventually, I mean, there were votes. It wasn't just we're doing this or else. There were votes, and enough were in support that it was decided.
In some ways, it was, I wouldn't say, in some ways a painful process of for some people. Making a big decision like that is never easy. But the Presbytery thing, I think what you're talking about, what I understand is they don't want another Denver Presbytery Church within a certain distance of each other.
That could be.
Because it just then pulls people from.
This was called, if I remember correctly, this was called a new church development.
Mm.
And for the reasons you stated, it was too close to those other two physically too close. And so in order to allow the new church development, those two churches had to go away. Plus, there was the benefit of selling the properties to help finance this location.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to remember. I don't think I ever attended a session meeting in this building. I think my term in session was over. We met at the pastor's house during that time. And I think my term was over before the building was ready. It was about 1990-91.
So you haven't served on session since?
No.
Well, isn't it time to come back? Is that?
I think there's others who have much more to offer.
Oh, I'm just kidding. It's always fun to kind of make people sweat about that.
Well, I served on one other committee, and that's what I'm proud about.
Yeah.
The pastor nominating committee.
Oh.
When Russ came.
Okay, so you served on that committee.
Well, we couldn't have known ahead of time how that would go, but I'm really glad about the result.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are important teams, those pastor nominating committees.
That was something else, I'll tell you.
So, why did they choose Castle Rock? Was it because there's a lot of families that came to Sedalia from Castle Rock, or at that time, did it seem like Castle Rock was going to be a place of growth?
I think so. I would think that, you know, that the town of Castle Rock was growing, and rather than trying to go elsewhere to like Littleton, or, you know, it would have been too far away, and Sedalia and Laveras are such small communities that I think Castle Rock was just seemed the normal fit to build here and attract people too from the town. So
That was the Meadows had started. And it ran into some rough times as a development, but the fact that Castle Rock was seen as going to be the center of growth, or one of the centers of growth. Parker already had a church, had a Presbyterian church, so it was kind of the logical choice.
So then, you guys move in 89, right?
To the new building? I thought it was 1990, but I'm not entirely clear about the exact date.
Okay.
I think it was 1990.
We'll have to get that clear before we celebrate.
Well, 89 was when the church started.
Okay.
But we met in the rec center for at least a year, I would say.
Yeah, we did.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the building was ready.
Right.
It
so
was
you
New
became
Hope
a church
before
the building
that's
was
correct.
Ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what has it been like for you to watch God work through New Hope in the community the last 30 years?
Well, we never expected it to be like this. And because of some problems early on, there were times in the 90s prior to Russ becoming our pastor when it wasn't for sure that New Hope was going to continue. And basically just sat there with the same membership. And that also had to do with other factors. There were economic problems both with the Meadows and just with everybody. It was a slow time. We had three or four interim pastors or stated supply during the time that we lost our original pastor and before Russ arrived. And they were fine. Carlisle Spore was one of them. And they were fine, but there was just no direction, no leadership. that was going to be permanent. Mm-hmm. So the fact that since then...
It's kind of like a substitute teacher.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since then, you know, getting Russ here as our pastor and having some direction and some leadership, it's just really more than I ever expected to see. That goes along with the growth of the surrounding community as well.
Yeah.
People come here and, yeah, there's some that don't like it. They're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, people come here and they feel like they're accepted immediately.
Mm-hmm.
What you do in the service, welcoming visitors. That's just a small example of how people are accepted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission outreach of the church, too, is, I think, wonderful. And some of the, well, the Sunday school program, the music, some of the things that are offered here, like the race discussions. I just think that's so important to hear now, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's just a wonderful thing. Going back to the music and Carlisle, they on Easter they had a special program called The Witness, and Bill was involved in it, and Carlisle was as well, and his character was Judas. And I just always thought that
he portrayed Judas.
And he did it so well. Yep. Great sense of humor, always that's a great memory.
Yeah.
That I have of one of the Easters here at New Hope.
One thing I wanted to say today that I'm really excited about, and we're limited, of course, by our location,
mm-hmm.
but one thing I really like about New Hope now is the attempt and the acceptance of diversity. I mean, Douglas County for so long has been the opposite of diverse.
Yeah.
And so the fact that New Hope understands that the kingdom of heaven is not just for white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, you know,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus came for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's why I like New Hope.
Yeah, that's been one thing I've always been impressed since I started here, is that this is a church that doesn't back down from those important and hard mm-hmm. conversations.
Yep.
Even within preaching, things that Russ will bring up, and just hard stuff that most of us try to just, you know, block off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this community is a community that wants to deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
I do too.
Russ has opened my eyes. I assume a lot of other people, about the kingdom of God. And it's not heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It might include heaven.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But, you know, so often and in the past, you know, I had the same religious upbringing that you did.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly, you got to learn about sin and you got to learn about heaven, and the whole reason you're doing this is so you can get there.
Mm-hmm.
But that is so narrow,
mm-hmm.
so short-sighted. What about the journey, you know? So that's what I like about New Hope.
Yeah, the reason to be on this earth isn't just to leave, you know. this isn't a waiting room, you know. It's you're here for a purpose. You're here to do some things.
Yeah.
So what are your hopes for New Hope in, let's say, the next 30 years?
Well, let's see.
I know it's hard to think of, because what you guys were saying is that you never imagined mm-hmm. when you started this process what New Hope would be today.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to think another 30 years, mm-hmm. what would you hope for?
maybe more reaching out more worldly or more to other countries, trying to help fix the problem in other countries, I guess, on being sustainable. Excuse me. I guess maybe going down that path a little bit more. I don't know how that would be done, really. But I guess, you know, just in, I don't know.
Kind of like what we're doing with Zimbabwe.
Yes, right.
With more countries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Continue our mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should continue to look outwards rather than, okay, we're good now, we're here, we're comfortable. Let's just, you know, relax. That's not an option. Mm-hmm. I think we should reach out, especially locally, but as well as farther out. Again, I'm encouraged that we are not afraid of diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that it never happens that we reject that notion.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I, you know, diversity is a way to, especially in the Christian tradition, to understand God through different eyes. And we learn new things by doing that about God and about others and how we view the world and understand the world. And that helps us be more open people, because then we have to force ourselves to think that maybe our way or our thoughts aren't necessarily the right ones.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's an important piece.
Yeah, you know, I come from a background. The church I grew up in, and which I literally rejected, the only thing women were allowed to do as far as organized church activities was teach Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, there were many more men, male Sunday school teachers than there were women. Weren't allowed to be church officers, weren't allowed to be pastors, were basically...
They could be the church secretary.
Yeah.
Right?
So the fact that I don't understand that now, and I'm really happy that not only are we encouraging and accepting women in all roles, but other people, you know, that not that long ago were rejected from the church community. Mm-hmm. So I just hope New Hope continues on in that way.
Yeah. Well, do you both feel good about this interview? Do you feel like is there anything else you want to share? Or
the first night after, during the night, the first night I read your email, I had a lot to say. Now I can't remember most of it. Just, you know, it seems, well, just what I want to say is, we could have gotten several different pastors. There were several that interviewed for Russ's position.
Mm-hmm.
And he, through his leadership, he's encouraged everything we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And the day is coming, I know, that he won't be here, but I hope we can not be pastor worshipers like so many churches are, that we can continue without him when that time comes. Mm-hmm. and really keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's one of those biggest, I think that's one of the biggest tests of any pastor's ministry, is that especially if they're at a place for a long time, that the work they've done in guiding the people,
mm-hmm.
that the biggest test is when they leave,
what happens.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like, as parents, when you have kids and you send them off to college, you know, are they going to be okay? Or I think that's the same, you know, with pastors. And so when they take off, then does the church continue its mission and its values that it's held on to? And yeah, there'll be another, because I'm assuming we'll probably have to go through some of the similar things that they went through in the 90s of a transition pastor at some point while the PNC
does their work.
Yeah.
When we received the letter from the nomination committee about your position, and I read it first, and I went, oh! I jumped and I said, Bill, you have to read this. And we were just so excited that that you were chosen.
Thanks.
So
I'm excited
that you're
too.
Here as well.
This has been one of those places that my wife and I, when I started working here, said, there's something special here, and we want to hang on to that as long
as we can.
Something's
going
on. Yeah.
There is.
Yep. Well, thank you for joining
you
us. If you have anything else later on and you want to come back in and record, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're a couple days from Christmas right now. This probably won't go out till sometime in January. I think each week we'll release a new
put
interview.
Put it on the website.
Yep.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, we'll put it on the website, and then also we'll probably put clips of your audio on a video. We'll have some slideshow pictures of throughout the years. And
okay.
So.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
All
you feel
right.
good?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Right. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. And if you like our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with others on any social media platform.